This past Tuesday was the Feast of the Epiphany. To mark the occasion, we had a wonderful and glorious pageant and supper. It was a great celebration of that feast, and it set us on this journey through this season after the Epiphany. And you may already know, but I want to remind you, if you do, that the word Epiphany means manifestation, to be shown forth. And of course, that refers to Jesus. We gather in this season after the Epiphany, and it is our time to learn who this one is that was born of Mary, that babe in Bethlehem. Who is this Jesus? How is Jesus made known? How is he shown forth? And in this, both the feast and these Sundays after, we learn who Jesus is. We learn that he is fully human and fully divine. That in Jesus, heaven and earth meet. Several years ago, I was very privileged to go on pilgrimage. And I journeyed to Iona off the coast of Scotland, a tiny, small island. But it is an island which is so important. In the 6th century, missionaries from Ireland started a monastic community on that island, and there has been a Christian presence there since. And it is one of those places that people refer to as a thin place, where that veil, that boundary between heaven and earth is very narrow. At least for me, and I know I've heard others say this, getting off the ferry and stepping foot on that island, I was clear that I was standing upon holy ground. It's a beautiful place, but it's also a very holy place, hallowed by centuries of Christian prayer, witness, and presence. Jesus' baptism is one of those ways in which we see writ large that connection between heaven and earth, even more narrow than those thin places we can make pilgrimage to, we might visit on this earth. Mark tells us the heavens are torn apart. That is a dramatic and somewhat violent image. But heaven is opened. And in this scene at the River Jordan, the Holy Spirit descends as a dove. Jesus is present, fully human, with the Spirit poured out upon him, and the voice from heaven saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." In that moment, in that place, and in the person of Jesus, heaven and earth are united. That one whose birth we just celebrated, we now proclaim, is both human and divine, is our Lord and our Savior, is part of the Holy Trinity. In fact, today's Gospel is the earliest place in Scripture we can find the Trinity articulated, explained, illustrated. There's Jesus in his humanity, the Word of God, the second person of the Trinity, in flesh. There's the Holy Spirit descending as a dove, and that voice of God the Father proclaiming Jesus beloved. The Holy and Blessed Trinity present in today's Gospel. One of the commentaries I consulted in preparing today's sermon is called Feasting on the Word. And there's this quote I'd like to share with you about this revelation of the Trinity. Jesus looks to the heavens in love, and the voice calls out in love. The Spirit, the love between the first and second persons of the Trinity, is manifest. And all creation is caught up in this love. The Trinity, three persons, bound in love as one God. That love that is then poured out upon the whole of creation. God who created everything, proclaiming God's love for all that is created. And that love then embodied in the person, in the humanity, in the enfleshment of God made flesh in Jesus. Love poured out upon humanity. In our first lesson this morning, we heard the opening of Scripture, the beginning of the book of Genesis, where God creates light. Before the creation of that light, there's a formless void. There is chaos. There is darkness. And God speaks. God's Spirit calls forth, creates light. Light which illumines the chaos. Light which creates day. Light which creates periods when there is brightness and there is darkness, creates time. God begins to subdue, to take control of, to order the chaos that exists. And as God does in each of the days of creation, God says what has been made that day is good, culminating in the sixth day of creation when humanity is created. And God says, humanity is good. All of creation, breathed into being by God, issuing forth from the love of the Trinity, and all pronounced good. That same pronouncement we hear in today's Gospel of Jesus at his baptism, beloved of God, good, loved by God. Inevitably, I think this all leads to a question which has no easy answer, and one which Christians from the very beginning have wrestled with. And that is, why was Jesus baptized? Why was the one who is sinless, drawn to the River Jordan, is baptized by John the Baptist? Why in the world would he who has no need of baptism for forgiveness of sins present himself to be baptized? There have been various answers, but I think for me one of the most convincing is Jesus' desire to fully put on our humanity, to fully participate in what it means to be human. Though he has no sin, he goes to the waters of the Jordan with the multitudes. Mark tells us the people are coming from the countryside, and Mark says all of Jerusalem. That implies many people. And Jesus comes to be part of that multitude, to participate in the fullness of what it means to be human. Though he has no need of this baptism, he descends into the waters, showing complete solidarity with humanity. Martin Smith, I think 20 years ago, published a book called A Season for the Spirit. It offers daily meditations through the Lenten season. The very first day, however, is about today's gospel. It's about the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist. And I'd like to share with you what Martin Smith says about this passage. Jesus' reaction to John's baptism of repentance was a crucial turning point. He could have kept his distance, an innocent young man conscious of unbroken faithfulness to God, looking with pity on the thousands of ordinary people who were overwhelmed by the realization of their own moral inadequacy. But instead of looking down on them from afar, secure in his own guiltlessness, Jesus plunged into the waters with them and lost himself in the crowd. He threw away his innocence and separateness to take on the identity of struggling men and women who were reaching out en masse for the lifeline of forgiveness. So it is, Martin Smith says, that Jesus plunges into the waters to participate fully in our humanity, not looking from afar, not being separate and aloof, but being right there with people where they are as they yearn for forgiveness, as they yearn for that repentance that John talks about, that metanoia, that turning to a new direction. So Jesus enters those waters in complete solidarity with them. Jesus is baptized so that we might share his divine life. He puts on humanity that we might share in divinity. In the incarnation and in the baptism of Jesus, God stoops to humanity, accepting the limitations of what it is to be human, that eternal word of God present at the creation, accepting the limitations of our human existence, all done in order that humanity might be raised to the fullness of the divine life, to participate in that love of the Trinity, in that divine life which God calls us to enter into. For when we are baptized into the very life of the Trinity. We are baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. With Jesus, we descend into those waters of chaos, where we die to the old self and rise to the new. We put on the very identity of Jesus, of the triune God. We are transformed by baptism into God's beloved children. This leads to the question, what does it mean to live as God's beloved children? And I think the answer is found in the life that Jesus lived. And is that life which puts others ahead of self, that life of loving service. In his life, his ministry, his teaching, as well as in his death, we see the life to which we are called, that life of loving service, giving up ourselves for others. not giving in to my own self-centered desires and ways where I would make myself the center of everything, but rather letting go of self and opening ourselves to others, reaching out to them in that love of God. Baptism transforms us into followers of Jesus, putting on that identity of Jesus, full of the power of the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit then drives us out. The very next thing that happens in Mark's gospel after today's account is Jesus is driven into the wilderness. And from there, after 40 days of fasting, he begins his earthly ministry. So it is the Spirit drives us out from this place to be God's presence in the world, to live that life of loving service, giving up ourselves, following Jesus, even Jesus as he goes to the cross. That is our call, giving up ourselves and putting on that full identity of Jesus, losing our life that we might find true abundant life. So what then does it look like to live this life of the beloved? How do we do this? And I think the clue comes in what we're going to do in just a few moments. We're going to renew our baptismal vows. Those promises we made at baptism or were made for us, they tell us what it is that this call to the baptized, to those who are beloved of God, what that life looks like, how we are to live it. There are five promises that we will renew this day. The first is to continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers, to continue in that historic and ancient faith handed on to us from the apostles, passed down from generation to generation, to continue to be faithful in worshiping God, in gathering for the breaking of bread, for the Eucharist. Second, we will promise to persevere in resisting evil, and whenever we fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord. We will promise to resist evil at every turn, but recognize we are not always successful or faithful in that. And when we are not, we will repent. We'll return to God, confessing our sins and giving thanks for God's forgiveness and mercy. The third we will promise is to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ. The Holy Spirit that descends on Jesus, he doesn't keep to himself. It propels him into the wilderness and then on to a life of ministering to others. The Holy Spirit fills us and sends us out to proclaim this good news. This good news of love stronger than death. This good news that all are beloved children of God. The fourth is to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbor as ourself. To go out and to be Christ in the world, loving others as Christ loves them. To seeing in them both Jesus and beloved children of God. And the final is to strive for justice and peace among all people, and respect the dignity of every human being, to work for the inbreaking of God's kingdom in this world, in the here and the now, and to see in others that dignity bestowed on them by God. This is not an easy task. It is a tall order. And so it's no accident that after each promise we say, I will with God's help. We can't do this alone. But the Spirit gives us the grace to say yes to these promises, to do our best to follow them, giving us strength, direction, and also bestowing upon us forgiveness when we fail. And so on this first Sunday after the Epiphany, on this baptism of our Lord, let us give thanks for this gift we have received, being adopted as beloved children of God. May we say yes to that invitation to put on Christ, to enter into that life of the Holy Trinity, that community of love. And may we accept the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us the grace, the strength we need to answer this call, to do all that God would have us do, to be Christ's presence in the world, and to change this world. And may we always be faithful in following Jesus, giving up ourselves, that we might find in him life abundant. Amen.
Amen.